in the Bible, the Word of God. And we're going to read together from the book of Revelation. So that's easy found tonight, boys and girls. We're in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. We're going to read together from chapter 1, and then I want you to turn over with me to chapter 22. So chapter 1 first of all, and then chapter 22. We're going to read from verse 12 of chapter 1, and then we're going to read from verse 1 of chapter 22. So the final book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, reading from verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Then turn over, please, to chapter 22. Chapter 22, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. And amen. We know that the Lord will bless these, the public reading of his own holy word. And let's unite our hearts in prayer, please, before we come to the Bible tonight. Maybe we could stand just to change your position as we pray. Let's all stand together, please. Always like to bring before you the missionary requests. We put them up there for you. I'd ask you to remember, please, the Reverend Lyle Boyd. Please remember, too, the father of the Reverend Ankel Alvarez, who is terminally ill in Madrid. And I do remember Ankel and his mother as the watch and wait at the bedside of a dear loved one. And I'd ask you to remember the believers in the Philippines. We've been able to get some little help out to them over there, and that has been distributed and is a great help to them. But remember those little congregations out there, that the hand of God would abide and rest upon them for good. Do remember the students in the Whitfield at the present time, and pray that the Lord will be with them and watch over them. We've been watching too the national events over the past weeks. The eyes of the world has been toward Israel again. I always think of that little nation surrounded, absolutely surrounded by our enemies, and yet God has kept her and protected her and watched over her. And would you pray for that little land that means so much to the people of God, that the Lord will spare her people and bring peace to that region. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again that God is an answer to the sin of the heart. We thank Thee for the cutting power of the Word of God that's able to deal with sin in the heart. And I pray even as the Word goes out tonight that it will not be choked by the sin of the heart, but Lord, that it will find a place to grow, to nurture even in young hearts and lives, and that it will bring forth fruit unto life which is eternal. We do remember these special prayer requests this evening. I remember our brother Lyle out in Bass tonight. Bless him and Heather. And I pray for the Lord's healing hand upon our brother Lyle. Touch him by the power of God and raise him to health and strength. I pray too for the father of our brother Uncle Alvarez. Lord, we thank Thee for Uncle and his ministry, and thank Thee for saving his dear mother and ones in his family. But I pray for his father as the watch and wait tonight. Be very near to the family circle and bless them. Remember those believers away in the Philippines that we've been able to send to help to, battling, Lord, natural disasters, earthquakes, battling, Lord, the COVID-19 pandemic, battling poverty. Lord, watch over them. Keep them as the apple of Thine eye. We thank Thee that You're a great Heavenly Father, even as we thought this morning of the head of the household providing for his family. Lord, You are our head, and we prayed You'll provide for these Thy children. We do also remember those that are training in the Whitfield at the present time. We ask, dear God, that You'll give them help in their exams, bring everything to their recall, and Lord, make them men and women used and blessed of God. And Lord, I ask of Thee that Thou would remember those troublesome areas of the world. We've been thinking this morning of southern Sudan, and I pray You'll bless out there. We think of those that have loved ones who are under threat, and I pray You'll keep them and protect them. And I think of the land of Israel tonight, surrounded, Lord, by our enemies. And Lord, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I pray that You will bless in Israel. And Lord, that it will please Thee to call many to Thyself. And we pray for peace in that region. We pray that God will work in the hearts of Israeli and Arab alike, and that they might be brought under the very reign of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer for it this evening. We thank that it's the land of the birth of our Saviour, the land where He offered up His life as a ransom for the sins of the many. And we know it is a land that means much in the great economy of God. So Lord, bless, we pray of Thee. Bless us as we gather now around the book of God. Lord, this is Thy word. Open our hearts to it. Grant us the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray this tonight, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn with me this evening to chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. It's really a follow-on from where we were this morning. We thought this morning of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And here we have this great vision that is opened out to us in the closing chapter of the revelation of God. Here is the Lord's promise to us. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4. They shall see His face. Chapter 21 and chapter 22 to verse 5. It describes for us in wonderful detail what heaven is going to be like, and what the new earth is going to be like, where we shall dwell eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Savior returns, something wonderful is going to happen. The curse that happened with the fall, that brought about the thorns and the thistles and the weeds, it is going to be reversed. And all creation is going to enjoy a rejuvenation. The earth is going to be purged by fire, and creation will be made new. And all of the effects of the fall are going to be reversed in the new earth and in the new heavens. Isaiah foresaw it in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17 to 25. He said, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. It's this new heaven wherein dwelleth righteousness. It's this new earth where the people of God will dwell. It'll be paradise restored, but it'll be much more than just paradise restored. There'll be no more curse. We will have access now to the tree of life, and thus the effects of the curse reversed will be made known no more. And it's in this new heavens and it's in this new earth that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be given unparalleled views of the dear Saviour. They will behold him as sovereign on the throne. They will behold him as part of the home of the saints of God for all eternity. They will be there with him. We will not be apart from him, and he will not be apart from us. But there with the glorified, we're going to dwell for all of God's great eternity. The chief blessing of heaven is called by commentators the heaven of heaven, is that we shall see the lovely face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just going to see God. We're going to gaze into the face of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Job of old, we know that our time on this scene of earth is coming to an end. But that's not the end of the story. That's the great thing for the child of God. My little earthly sojourn one day will come to an end, but that's not the end of my story. We have a story to tell in eternity. We sang about it in the opening hymn, a story that will repeat for the great ages of eternity, saved by grace. We're going to tell it. We're going to live to tell it. Our soul will tell it out, but on the resurrection day, body and soul will be reunited, and in this flesh with these physical eyes, I am going to see God. I am going to behold him as he really is. I am going to see him face to face. And that is our great incentive to purity. That is our great incentive in holiness. There's no amount of scolding will incentivize the people of God to holiness. It's this vision, it's this wonderful truth that God has given to us. One day we're going to see him. That's why it's worthwhile here and now living for him. We're going to see him. There are great references in the Bible to the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of his suffering face in Luke chapter 22, 64. For they blindfolded him and they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is this that smote thee? Can you look at the face of Christ at Calvary? And that face of Christ was punched and battered. They dared to take their hand and smite the dear Son of God. That face that they smote, it suffered on the behalf of those whom Jesus loved. Matthew 17:22 takes us to the shining face of Jesus Christ. Because we read, his face did shine as the sun. That's a wonderful expression. It was radiant. We can't look up into the sun. It would damage even our frail, fragile eyes. But the face of the Lord Jesus Christ to the disciples that day did shine as the sun. They saw something wondrous. They saw something glorious. They saw a face that was radiant, that beamed. This was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're going to see, Revelation chapter 22 and 4. Chapter 6 of Revelation 15, 17 gives us a contrasting view, because here we're coming to the solemn face of Christ. How solemn is that face? Because sinners will cry out on that day, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. The face that smiled at children, the face that beckoned sinners to come unto him, the face that shone in radiant glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's the same face that sinners are going to hide from on the judgment day. But here's our text, chapter 22 and verse 4. The last glimpse we have of this beautiful face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew Henry called it the beatific vision. What did he mean by that? It's just sheer bliss. There's beauty that man has never seen before. Man cannot see the side of God's eternity to be seen in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, we see things that grieve us and we see things that disappoint us this side of God's eternity. But just one glimpse of his face will dispel all the disappointments and dispel all the sorrows of life. And instead of looking at our problems tonight, we would be better equipped to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Look for God. That's what we said this morning. Look for God in the sanctuary. Look for Christ in the Word of God. And here we're tonight looking at the face of his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, consider with me as we look the certainty of this vision. You know, when the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, it literally means it. There's a note of certainty about it. There's no maybes, there's no haps, there's no maybe ifs or buts. Heaven would not be heaven if we were denied a glimpse, a view of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, no doubt there are many other things to enthrall the soul. You go back on chapter 21, go back into chapter 22, and it's not without significance that this beatific vision is set in the context of the great vision of heaven itself, the new heaven, the new earth. And it's where we have a vivid description here of the heavenly Jerusalem. And John, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, gives to us a powerful description of a foundation of the purest and the richest stones. Nobody sees the foundation. The foundation's covered over. It's the foundation that's laid upon. But yet with all, John was able to see the foundation here, and it was of the purest and the richest stone, gates that were made of pearls, streets that were made of pure gold. What a vision this is to the eye. What a vision it is to the eye. The river of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. And on either side, the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits. And legions of angels who serve God in his eternal sanctuary. And over there, we're going to be part of the number of the company of the people of God. You know, what an innumerable company are gathered over there. Can we contemplate it? We thought this morning of God in our history. We thought of God in the history even of this little province of ours. Oh, we know it's nothing really much to write home about, but I thank God, God's in it. And from it there have been multitudes who have gone on to glory, and we're going to meet them there. Those generations of the family that have gone on before, we're going to meet them there who died in Christ. They're part of that innumerable company, and we're going to meet the redeemed from Adam and Eve to the very last sinner, the very last saint of God that has been safely garnered and gathered in. They're all going to be there. The redeemed of God, they're going to be there. And we're going to know them. We will know each other. There will be family knowledge and family acquaintances. All of the redeemed will be my family. And they'll be gathered there from the north, from the south, from the east to the west. Can you think of the multitude of colors that will be there? The multitudes of nationalities that will be there. We thought even in our prayers for our missionaries today of those from Spain. That's Europe. What about those from Africa? That's Sudan. What about those from Asia? That's the Philippines. They're all going to be there. None of the redeemed are going to be left behind. They're all going to be there. But that's not the center of attraction. The center of attraction will be the Lamb of God himself. And they'll all be gazing at his face. You know, Christians here and now, sometimes we have to confess before the Lord, we're too busy looking at each other. What this brother's doing, what that sister's doing. I want to say to you tonight, keep your eye upon Jesus. Keep your eye upon him. Because in heaven, that's where our gaze is going to be. It's going to be on him. It's not going to be on others. We're going to see him. The text assures us that it will be his face that we see. It's the face of God as it's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God manifest in the flesh. Sometimes we meet up with people and we think we know them, but you know we don't know them. But who are we looking at? We're looking at their children. We're looking at their children and we think we know them because we knew their parents. There's such a resemblance. And if you want to look at the Father, just look at the Son. And the Son will tell you what the Father looks like. We read about those who saw the face of Christ. What about Saul? How did he see the face of Christ? In Acts chapter 26, 13, he said, "At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me." Do you know how did he see the face of Christ? He saw it as the brightness of the sun at midday. Hebrews 1 and 3, we believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, so he says, concerning Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. What is Christ? Christ is the brightness of the Father's glory. Christ is the express image of his person. We've all heard people say from time to time, he's just the express image of his mum, his dad. Well, Christ is the express image of his Father. We say, how will we see God? We'll look upon Christ and we'll see God. We'll see how he really is. It's a face of love. It's a face of mercy. It's a face of grace. It's a face of truth. It's no wonder that we read in the Psalms continually. Psalm 80, for example, "Cause thy face to shine upon us." The face of God is his approval. "Cause thy face to shine upon us and we shall be saved." That face that was marred more than any other man. The face in Luke's gospel that was battered and bruised tonight. It shines resplendent in glory. It's as the brightness of the sun. And here's all the encouragement that you and I should need in our service for God. One day we're going to see that face. It's a certain day. We're going to see the face of Christ. Those that are pure in heart, the Christian, the child of God, one day we're going to see that face. Never lose sight of Jesus as you journey here on earth, believer, because in heaven our gaze is not going to be taken off him. He's going to be the whole center of attraction. And we'll enjoy uninterrupted communion with him for all of the Lord's great eternity. We're going to see his face. The certainty of it. Secondly, consider with me the clarity of it. It'll be perfect vision. Perfect vision. Our vision sometimes is very impaired. We think we see things, even though we're looking through glasses, we think we see things, but we're not really seeing them perfectly. It's blurred sometimes. It's on a distance. Sometimes we have to be really up close to it. It's as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, "Now we see through a glass darkly." Now we see through, I don't think he was talking about his glasses either. He was looking through something that was dark and obscure. There are many things we don't see and understand here below. Our vision sometimes of heavenly matters is very imperfect. Only faintly now I see him with the darkling veil between. Only faintly. I think that's as best as our vision can be, the side of God's eternity. But one day with perfect vision we're going to see Jesus Christ. We're going to see him perfectly. No spot or blemish in our vision of him. There's no spot or blemish in him. But the spot and the blemish is in our vision of him. And if things are not clear now, my dear brother or sister, don't stress and be anxious about it, because the day is soon coming when it'll be absolutely clear. And there are people and they have to get things absolutely right. But you know, there's very few things absolutely right this side of God's eternity, but it'll be absolutely right then. If we haven't got it right now, we'll get it right then. The clarity of the vision will be unsurpassed because we're going to be purified from sin. Everything that you and I put our hand to is tainted by sin. It's just like the garden again, boys and girls. No matter how much we dig in it and pull up those weeds by the root, there's always more to come in it afterwards. They just keep coming. And they just keep spreading. And they just keep taking over our lives. That's what sin does. Sin taints all that we do. But on that day, there'll be no more sin. The curse is gone. So there's no more sin on that day. We will enjoy a conscious enjoyment of the presence of God for all eternity. In the Word of God, where you find the writers desiring God, they use that expression about the face of God. There's no use you going to see someone if you can't see their face, is it? You want to see their face. And that's the great thing, even of modern day communication. You can put onto FaceTime on your phone, you see somebody's face. It just makes all the difference when you see their face. And we read in Psalm 13, how long, verse 1, will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? That was his grief. Lord, don't hide your face from me. As a church, let's make that our prayer. Lord, don't hide your face from us. If God hides his face from us, we're bereft of all comfort. Psalm 27, verse 9, hide not thy face from me. Psalm 30, verse 7, thou didst hide thy face and I was troubled. Oh, when the Lord hides his face, we're in trouble. We think of this land that we live in, and I believe God has hid his face from it in great measure. The smile of the Lord's approval is definitely not upon us as in years gone by. It's a good prayer for every Christian to pray, Lord, don't hide your face from us. Smile with your divine smile of approval upon us. We have many things to fear in life, but the greatest fear that all of us should have is that if God should hide his face from us. But there's a day coming when there'll be no more sin. There'll be no more hiding of the face. This is where we're going to have sinless perfection. Where? Just in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 12, 22, we read, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the company of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the judge of all. That's a great description of heaven. And then it closes, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Where are just men made perfect? Over there in Emmanuel's land. Over there in heaven. That's where sinless perfection is to be found. And because it's sinless, and because it's perfect, and because there's no more curse, we'll see him perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. Our vision will be clear because we're going to leave all our burdens behind. The burdens do bear us down. They hold us down. Even in the house of God, many people come into the house of God week by week, and they come in and they're bowed down beneath the cares and the burdens of life. And they can't see the Savior because of it. But there's a day coming where we'll say goodbye to our burdens. You breathe your last breath, dear Christian, you say goodbye to your burdens. Our whole focus will be on the Lamb. What will the clarity of that vision reveal? What will we see? That's why we read from chapter 1. The Scriptures don't leave any room for a mysticism or conjecture. Here in chapter 1, we have the greatest physical description of the glorified Christ as in the Word of God. And what do we see? His hair and his head were white like wool. The white hair and the head connect the Lord Jesus Christ with the Ancient of Days. Christ is the Ancient of Days. His eyes like a flame of fire. Fire is often associated with judgment in the Scriptures, but it's also searching, it's also penetrating. His feet were like brass. Feet like brass are those that have been refined in the furnace. It speaks of someone who's been through the fire. And Jesus Christ was through the fire of God's judgment for you and me. He came through the fire of judgment. His voice is the sound of many waters. We don't have many great waterfalls up around this part of the world. We've just nearly everything else, but we don't have many great waterfalls. But stand beside the waterfall and hear the roar of it. Stand beside the great waterfalls of Victoria, Niagara, all over the world, and the roar of that voice, and the roar of that sound. What power and majesty is in that voice. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. They're the messengers of the churches. They're securely held in the hand of Jesus. And out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. I like Albert Barnes' commentary on this. He said, it didn't necessarily mean that John saw a sword coming out of Jesus' mouth. He heard him speak, and he felt the penetrating power of his words. The words of Christ are penetrating. When Jesus speaks to the heart of the redeemed of God, that's penetrating words. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And that takes us back to Matthew 17, verse 2. His face shone like the sun. The face of Christ. We couldn't look up at that face tonight. All we can do is look through the glass darkly, but on that day we're going to look at it and we're going to see it perfectly. What a vision that is. Could we close by saying, and thirdly and finally this evening, the calamity of those who cannot share the vision. The text singles out a specific group. It's a great tie-in with our message this morning, Matthew 5 and 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, those whose hearts have been cleansed from sin in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. The pure in heart see God, they are the redeemed in heaven. But if you're here tonight unsaved, your heart isn't purified. It hasn't been cleansed. If you're listening in and you know not the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior, oh, what a tragedy, what a calamity that your heart has never been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. And here is the application of it all this evening. You cannot see God. If you die as you live tonight, you will never see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ except in judgment. The face of the Savior will be reserved for the judgment day. It'll be a terror of terrors to the unconverted. I think we fail to understand, we fail to comprehend what the judgment day will really be like. We've thought of that in the weeks that have gone by, in a comfortable church building like this, with people that you know and the comfort of it. It's easy to maybe forget the awful reality of it, but what an awful reality that day is going to be. You'll not sit or stand on that day with others that you know. You'll stand on your own. There'll be nobody to stand with you on that day. You'll stand with your own and not be with your loved ones, mom or dad or others in the family that know and love the Lord. You're going to stand on your own and face a penetrating face of Christ. We read in chapter 1 and verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Terror-filled hearts, chapter 6, reminds us of that day when the kings and the great men and the chief captains, they'll cry to the mountains, fall on us to hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They'll seek, but they'll seek in vain. There's no hiding place from God, dear men and women. On that judgment day, there is no hiding place. There is no hiding place but in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, there's no hiding place either in time or in God's great eternity. You will be found out. If you desire to see Christ's face in glory as your Lord and Savior, then I want you to do something. I want you to seek His face here in life for salvation. There's no option. God has given you an opportunity to seek His face. Even in this little meeting tonight, this is your opportunity at the start of this week to seek the face of God. I love those words. There used to be an old lady in the Carrick Church when I was minister there. She used to quote them in prayer all the time. Psalm 27, verse 7 and 8. When I cry with my voice of mercy, also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Is that the response of your life tonight? God says to you this evening, seek my face. I'd seek Him for mercy, seek Him for grace, seek Him for salvation, seek Him for pardon, seek my face. Will you do it tonight? When God said, seek my face, this was how the heart responded. Thy face, O Lord, will I seek. May you seek Him, because those that seek Him shall find Him. There's great encouragement here for the Christian. We endure, as we thought this morning, of seeing Him who is invisible. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 8, I noted that verse just a few nights ago. Though now ye see Him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. Though we see Him not, as we will on that day, yet we believe in Him and rejoice in Him with joy unspeakable. Dear believer, very soon we're going home to see the King. You know, the first time I heard that chorus was out in Kenya in 1991. Soon and very soon we're going home to see the King. It was at a conference with young people. I remember a little group of the young people led the other young people in singing it. And the next year I was back in Kenya for the funeral of two of those young people who had been murdered by gunmen. They didn't realize how soon they were going to see the King. And neither can you. You can never realize just how soon you're going to see the King. It could be tonight. And oh, the awful reality. If you died in your sin, if you died without Christ, if you died without being in the cleft of the rock of ages, you'd be lost for all eternity. The Lord says to you tonight, seek my face. May your heart say this evening, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What a promise and what a blessed prospect. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4. One day, we're going to see His face. We couldn't finish a service like this without singing that closing hymn. Maybe, Jonathan, you get something on the full screen. So we'll just sing a couple of verses 1 and 2. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? hearts together in prayer, as I always do. I want to say, if there's any in the meeting, young or old, and you've heard God said to you tonight, seek my face. If I can be of help to you, showing you further how to seek the face of God for salvation, just stop and indicate that to me as you go out tonight, or wait behind in your seat, or meet me in the minister's room, whatever way you want to do it, but don't go home without seeking the face of God. Maybe there's a Christian in the meeting tonight and your heart's cold and far away from God, and you realize you do need to come back to the Lord. I asked you tonight, give your heart and life afresh to Christ. The greatest incentive to live for Christ is to know that one day you're going to see his face. Heavenly Father, what words we've been contemplating tonight. We feel so inadequate, Lord, even as we deal with them. Here, with that darkling veil between, only faintly now we see him. But we thank thee for the prospect one day we'll see him perfectly, with clear and open vision. We'll see him as we've never saw him before, and we'll rejoice in his grace and his mercy. We'll sing that story as we sang in our opening praise, saved by grace for all eternity. Bless all of your own dear people tonight. Lord, don't let any allow the moss of sin to smother out the good seed of the Word of God. I pray you'll help us to deal with sin every day in our lives, to repent of it, to turn from it, and to turn to the Saviour afresh and anew every day. Help us to renew our walk with thee. Lord, soon, very soon, we're going home to see the King. Give us, we pray of thee, anticipation of that very hour. We pray for the boys and girls. O Lord, our God, bless their young hearts and open their lives to the Christ of God and bring them to saving faith in God's own dear Son. Now we commend our way to thee, and we pray that you'll bless our time around God's word and in his house and in his presence. Bless us as we take our way home and go out into the week that lies ahead. Go before us and go with us. And use us, Lord, in some small measure to tell out that story in this world that we live in, saved by God's amazing grace. Hear us now, we beseech thee, and bless us this evening as we part our company. We pray this believing in Jesus' name. And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of God the Holy Ghost rest, remain, and abide with you all, both now and evermore. Amen.